This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run, and you're here with Xiao Ning and Gu Su Chuang. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll be speaking to Oh Yee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on what snap polls could mean for state governments. But before that, markets, because last night, U.S. markets bled out in the last hours of trading yesterday. The Dow Jones plunged 1.5%, S&P 500 dropped 1%, while the Nasdaq, which you thought would never, ever come down, fell 0.9%.
How do markets bleed out? Does that mean when they go up tomorrow, they bleed in? Is that how it happens?
I don't think you can bleed in. You bounce back.
You rebound. Well, Japan yesterday, before the American markets opened, they dropped 1%. Hang Seng was down. In fact, all dropped. But Hang Seng was down by 1.5%, 1.4%. Singapore fell 0.5%. Shanghai dropped 0.5%. Singapore dropped 1%, and the KLCI dropped by 0.7%. So I think we're going to trend lower again today, if the U.S. is any indication.
Well, we'll find out, because you never really know. Yeah, I mean, Asia might start recovering on its own. It's a strange market. But for some insight into global markets, joining us today is Jack Kuzi, who's Director of Strategy with VVS Group in
Sydney. VFS. The VVS is the diamond.
Sorry, which I want. Yeah. Sorry, Jack. Overnight developments notwithstanding, Chinese equities have been going gangbusters, with the Shanghai Composite Index up 12% this month. What's causing this rally, Jack?
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. Gangbusters is a good word. Flying is probably a better word. Shanghai Composite has been flying. China's been flying for the last couple of months. In fact, they've hit 18-month highs. I mean, it's the Chinese tech sector that is fueling this. When we talk about what the most important resource in the world is, it is not food, it is not water, it is data. What you eat, when you eat it, where you travel, and what you do. I listened to a gentleman called Kai Fu Lee, who's considered the father of Chinese artificial intelligence. And he says, data is the new oil and China is the new Saudi Arabia. And he's probably wrong. Data is the new oil and China is the new OPEC. I mean, in terms of what is flying, it's these Chinese tech sectors. And when we used to think about China's tech, we used to think about two companies. We used to think about Tencent and Alibaba. Well, let me introduce some names to your listeners right now. Think of things like Meishuan Jumping, JD.com, Bilibili, NetEase, Tao Education. These Chinese tech companies that are increasing user base, increasing their data, increasing their frequency, and building intangible assets on the back of this. And this is what is fueling the Shanghai Composite in general. China's chip sector is booming. China's e-commerce sector is booming. And not only are they growing internally within the great Chinese economy, but they're expanding these services to the rest of the world. And if we want to talk about data, China has an advantage over everybody in a subsector of data, and that's mobile payments, which is the hottest type of data you can have at this point in time, particularly because of COVID-19. If we compare them to the US market, they do about $18 trillion in mobile payments a year compared to the US, which is about $2 trillion. So we are seeing the next phase of the Chinese boom, in my opinion. I'm very, very bullish the Chinese economy. I'm very bullish Chinese tech towards the end of the year. And I think they're going to outperform and outpace global markets, including Europe and the US. So this is a continuation of a story that I believe will play out over the next 6 to 12 months within China.
So, Jack, is China in a way mirroring what is happening in the US, where, you really see the tech names or anything related to tech doing really well, but, all economy stocks like manufacturing falling behind?
No, I think China is in an island on its own right now. So they're decoupling. I mean, we are seeing a decoupling of these two countries. There's no doubt about it. They are decoupling along manufacturing lines. They're decoupling along tech lines. We looked at ISM manufacturing out of China last week. It was positive. It was in the 50 territory. What I believe is happening, particularly accelerated by COVID, is we're bringing back manufacturing lines to regional plays. So rather than sending things overseas, we're now bringing them back into the region. And if you want to talk about the center of the economic world now, it is Asia, by population, by growth, by middle income, by education, by landmass. And what I continue to think you'll see is that Asia or Asian countries will continue to fall into the bosom of China, and that region of the world will outpace any other region going forward. So that is what I believe is happening. You know, we talk about China and the US. I mean, you talk about some of these Chinese companies, they really don't do a lot of business in the US. So this decoupling doesn't affect them as much as possibly some of these American companies. But I just feel like this is the Asian century, and China will be the captain of that going forward. And I think we're seeing that play out in the data.
Jack, the theme you mentioned, the domesticization of the Chinese economic engine, was something that was the subject of a Bloomberg op-ed yesterday. But I also want to point out a Rabobank report from Michael Avery. He suggests that the surge in the Chinese markets, especially the 14% in the CSI, is not exactly domestic liquidity driven, because the data doesn't appear to suggest it so, nor is it led by foreign capital inflows, nor is it led by lower interest rates or even quantitative easing to the flavor of America. So where is that buying coming from?
I mean, maybe you should ask him that question. I mean, if it's not, I think you're seeing a lot of, there's a lot of consumer-driven demand within China. You have a lot of retail money coming in, just like anywhere in the world. And in fact, they probably got a bigger retail market than anyone when you compare it to its institutional flow. And you have a lot of optimism from that economy. I mean, they are in fifth gear. They have the virus under control from everything that we can see. And you've seen a lot of growth from middle-income classes there. And that's what drives economies. It's not the rich. It's not the poor. It's the middle class. They're the ones that consume. They're the ones that spend. And I just think this is going to be an ongoing theme here going forward, particularly within this region of the world.
Okay, well, more broadly on the earnings season that's coming up soon. Well, in fact, we're at the start of it. What kind of things are you looking out for? What kind of barometers?
Yeah, look, I as you know, I've come on the show for a couple of months, and I am essentially most of the time bullish. In fact, I think I'm mostly bullish most of the time. I'm starting to get a bit weary around, and we talked about this around 4 or 5 weeks ago, what can stop this rally? And the only thing that can stop this rally now is earnings. The big one for me, guys, is next week. So we see the banks report. We start with Wells Fargo. We go to JP Morgan. We go to Citigroup. We go to Goldman Sachs, and we do the regional banks. They will be a true litmus test of where the U.S. economy is at this point in time. And the thing that I'm looking for is on loan loss provisions. How many people are repaying their home loans? How many people, more importantly, are repaying their commercial rents? So they're the real key. So a couple of weeks ago, we did take some money off the table in terms of US markets in anticipation of earnings. Whether I redeploy that money back into US markets all depends on what the banks do and what the banks report. We know Amazon's going to do really well. We know Microsoft's going to do really well. We know some of these stay-at-home stocks are going to do well. But the banks will give us a real litmus test on that manufacturing side, on that retail side, to see exactly where we are. So we're holding in a holding position right now in anticipation of where the banks, and we're not far away. We're a week away from seeing where they exactly are.
Jack, on the basis of some of the interesting data that's been coming out, including the positive jobs reports from a couple of isolated weeks, should investors take heart from those kind of isolated data points and think there could be some good news in store?
I mean, the data is going to be good no matter what, because we're coming off such a low base. You know, data is most likely going to be positive. If you want to talk about the jobs report from last week, it was an amazing, amazing report. But here's the premise. We're seeing rolling shutdowns. And, you know, I'm sounding a little bit less optimistic than I have previously. Because of the rolling shutdowns, particularly out of Texas, Arizona, California, and there's one more state, that's about 30% of US GDP. So even though we're getting reopenings in areas like New York, they're going to have to double the rate of what we've seen out of those states. So take that with a little bit of grain of salt. But we are in a reopening phase and an expansionary phase. So data is going to be really good because it was so horrible 3 months ago. But I'm taking pause, and the key thing here is now is let's see what earnings really look like out of these companies coming forward.
And Jack, very quickly, back to earnings, right? I think, doesn't the market already kind of know that earnings for this quarter is going to be particularly weak? And so far, markets seem to be ignoring it and looking ahead to 2021. But will this rally come to a sudden end as people kind of take hold and take stock of the real numbers?
Yeah, I mean, the question is this is the issue that we have, right? The market tends to look 6 months ahead. That's what we just tend to do. The problem with this earnings is we've got no guidance off any of the companies in the last earnings. So, you know, what it looks like and what it's going to be is anyone's guess at this point in time. So that's why I think this might be a little bit different. We get some really true numbers without any guidance from any of these companies in the last quarter. So that's why I'm a bit apprehensive and have parked a little bit of money on the sidelines. And it pays to be long. That's just how the market works at this point in time. And I guess you can't buy the dip if you don't have any money to buy the dip with. So that's where we are in terms of positioning going forward. But it'll be an interesting earnings season, probably the most interesting we've seen in a long time.
Okay, thank you for your time, Jack. That was Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at the FS Group in Sydney. And ending on a rather somber note, he's not being quite optimistic about markets, but he's clearly kind of, you know, shoring up his cash position to buy into that dip.
Well, he's not inconsistent. He said in the past, and he said this multiple times, he said the only thing that can really stop this rally is the earnings report.
But
right?
Isn't the market already know the earnings? I mean,
Well, that's the thing, right? Markets haven't run on fundamentals for a long time.
You would know that second quarter or even third quarter numbers
would have
are
going to be... Right?
Yeah, I mean, economies were in complete lockdown. There was hardly any economic activity. People are losing their jobs, not just only here in Malaysia, but globally. So how can corporate results be anything but excellent?
Yeah, but investors
bad,
have to do that, right? You've got to protect your investors' money. And you can't, like he said, right? You can't buy the dip if you've got no money.
That's true. But up next, we'll be speaking to Oh Yee Sun, Senior Fellow at the Singapore Institute of International Affairs, on what snap polls could mean for state governments. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.